You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you again for being here. We wish you a very Merry Christmas. We've got a special song, and then I'm going to just chat with you for a short time, and then we'll go back to the refreshments. But I thank you for being here, and God bless you.
I love this song. It's not a gospel song, but it is a Christmas song, and I made it a West Texas Christmas song, and that's the best one because I love West Texas. It says, "Come on, weatherman, give us a forecast, snowy white. Can you hear the prayers of every childlike heart tonight? Rockies are calling, Denver snow falling. Somebody said it's 4 feet deep. It doesn't matter, give me the laughter. This year I'm gonna keep another tender Texas Christmas. It's the only Christmas for me where the love circles around me like the gifts around our tree. Well, I know there's more snow up in Colorado than my roof will ever see. But a tender Texas Christmas, it's the only Christmas for me. Now every now and then I get a wandering urge to see maybe California, maybe tinsel towns for me. There's a parade there, we'd have it made there, bring home a tan for New Year's Eve. It doesn't matter, give me the laughter, 'cause this year I know I'm gonna keep another tender Texas Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around me like the gifts around our tree. Well, I know there's more snow up in Colorado than my roof will ever see. But a tender Texas Christmas, that's the only Christmas for me. A tender Odessa Christmas, that's the only Christmas for me. Right here at Life Change Baptist Church, this is where I'll be.
You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke. Some of you will recognize this as what we call the Christmas story. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, if you lift your hand, we've got a guy that will bring you one. And let me say this. If you don't have a Bible, then you keep that Bible as our Christmas gift to you. That'll just be the Rec Room's Christmas gift to you. Luke chapter 2, fascinating story that we hear every year. Isn't it amazing that every year Jesus Christ is presented as Savior to the world. Nobody else does that every year. That doesn't happen in any other religion, doesn't happen in any other anything. Jesus Christ. Doesn't happen with presidents, doesn't happen with kings, doesn't happen with pharaohs, doesn't happen with emperors. But Jesus Christ is presented as Savior once a year, at least. But I want to read this story, just the first 11 verses in Luke 2, and then we're going to talk about one word in that very briefly. It said, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I want to talk about what I think is the most beautiful word in all the Bible. Savior. Savior. What I needed more than anything in my life was a Savior. What everybody I've ever known needed more than anything in their life is a Savior. As I was thinking about this, and I call this the Christmas story, but the truth of the matter is, the Christmas story is for every day. He's Savior every day. This story is for every day. It's for the 4th of July. It's for Labor Day. It's for President's Day. The Savior. The word appears 37 times in the Bible. 24 of those are in the New Testament. And in England, and used to in America, in the Old English, they spell the word S-A-V-I-O-U-R. And they still do that in England, by the way. We spell it S-A-V-I-O-R. And I've always taken shortcuts on stuff. If I could abbreviate words, I would. Because I just always want to get there in a hurry. But Linda pointed out to me, my wife, that in that Savior with the old spelling, there were three little letters grouped together that made the difference. They're I-O-U. And every time I write that word, I think of what I owe Jesus Christ. I owe you. Give you three things about the word Savior. One, the word Savior denotes a person. I picked up the old dictionary, looked up the word Savior, and it said a person. And then it said God or Jesus Christ. Didn't say Mohammed. Didn't say Buddha. Didn't say Mother Nature. And it didn't say God as I understand him. It said God or Jesus Christ, a person. This means it can't be a religion. Religion can't save us. A church can't save us. Denomination can't save us. Savior is a person. It's not a creed. It's not a decree. It's not a law or a religious law. A Savior, the very word itself, means a person. Jesus Christ in this case. Number two, a Savior implies that somebody needs saving. Wouldn't need a Savior if nobody needs saving, would you? If there wasn't a need, in fact, Mary herself in the first chapter of Luke calls God her Savior. Mary had a Savior. Only sinners have Saviors. I needed a Savior. You need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. None of us can save ourselves. We need a Savior. It's when I think of this word, I get a mental picture of a person drowning and going down for the third time, and somebody from shore coming and taking that drowning person back to the safety of the shore, saving their life from drowning. That's what I visualize when I hear and see the word Savior. Man is lost. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The problem with most religions is we stand around and argue who came the shortest. Didn't make any difference. If you come short, if you missed the plane, you missed the plane. It's like saying, well, I'm a little bit pregnant. No such thing. And if we stood around out here at the airport and said, well, look, I'm better than you because I just missed the plane by 5 minutes and you missed it by an hour. I remember when I was in Big Spring, federal prison, there became an argument between the ex-bankers that were serving time and some drug dealers that were serving time. And the bankers, the ex-banker, and it's always ex-banker, if you get convicted of felony, you get a new profession. You don't go back to banking, I'm going to tell you. It's over. But the ex-bankers were accusing the drug dealers of selling drugs to kids. Well, now, they're both in prison. They're both serving time for breaking the law. And one's better than the other. Bible said all have sinned. Not most of you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. The psalmist said you've together become filthy. We'll all stand around and say, I know I'm not perfect. Don't you know that God appreciates us testifying like that? Because I'm sure everybody standing around you thought you were perfect, and they were just astounded when you said, I'm not perfect. Nobody, we'll all admit to imperfection. Nobody wants to admit to filthiness. The Bible said we're filthy. And we're sinners. That's why we need a Savior. Wouldn't need a Savior if we could save ourselves. Third thing about the word Savior is it implies or it requires some qualifications. I mentioned that drowning man thing. When I was a kid, I took a life-saving course out at the swimming pool. And I did not take the life-saving course because I had visions of saving somebody's life. I took the life-saving course because that's the only way that you would qualify to get a lifeguard's job at the pool, and that's where the girls hung out. So I dedicated myself to getting the life-saving course. One of the things we had to do was to go out in the deep end of the pool and get a person who's faking drowning, but they're fighting it, and get them back to the shore safely. And they would take you out if they could, and you failed the course. So there was some know-how involved. And they taught us never get in the water. If you could not get in the water. If you got a rope, if you got a hose, if you got a long stick, don't get in the water, put it out there, and then pull them in. But if you had to get in the water, do not swim up to people that's drowning, or they will drown you with them. You went underwater before you ever got to them, and you swam up, and you caught them by their waist underwater, and they're not coming underwater, that's what they're fighting in, and you turn their back to you, and depending on the size of you and the person that you're trying to save, You either put your hand under their chin and swim on your side, or you put your hand across their chest and swim on your side and pull them back to safety. Now, there was three or four things involved in that. Number one, that took some know-how. You didn't want to swim up to them. They taught you not to do that. Number two, you had to be able to swim on your side. Number three, you had to be able to swim on your side and pull somebody with you. You had to know how to turn them. And so there were some things involved in that. And so that there was some ability, some capability. Jesus Christ had that. He came to pay the debt for us. He and He alone. Remember the verse that all of you would know, John 3:16? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's why Christ came. He was the one that could do the saving, had the know-how, the capability. Another thing that the Savior requires was had the power to say. I'm sure every parent would save their child, but maybe they can't. Every mama wants their son to go to heaven, but they can't save them. Can't do anything about it. They don't have that power. They don't have that authority to do that. Bible said that it's in Him. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God recognizes one Savior. He said there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And then another thing, the last thing. See, you may have the power to save. You may have the ability, but you say, I don't want to get involved. Hey, this is not my deal. Hey, you got yourself in this mess. Get out. You might even have that know-how and the ability and the power, but you don't have the desire. I see a lot of people. I learned something about West Texas people when we started working on the Angel Tree. I can go to a businessman in Odessa, Texas, and I can say, so-and-so is out here in jail and he doesn't have any money on his books. Would you help him? And that guy look at me like I'm in the wrong place. He said, look, I didn't put that guy out there. What do I care? They feed him. He's got three hots in the cot. Don't come to me for that. I can go to that same guy who's hard-nosed, redneck. And I said, there's a guy out here in jail that's got three little kids. They're not going to get anything for Christmas. They're going to do without. And this guy will say, how much do you need? They'll take care of kids. They'll reach and get it. It's amazing. The desire. See, there might be somebody that had the desire, or they might not be, but Jesus Christ, the Bible said that's why He came. God's motive was love. God so loved the world. But what God wanted, and God's purpose for sending His Son was so you and I could go to heaven. That's the only purpose. He didn't come to start a church. He didn't come to start a denomination. He didn't come to complete a Bible or write a Bible. The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If anybody, and this is what's so sad, I guess this probably bothers me more than anything. But if anybody goes to hell, they go in spite of Jesus Christ. He paid the highest debt you can pay, your life. The Bible said that every now and then somebody will give their life for a good man. There's been people who have given their lives for somebody else that they loved, that they cared about. They gave it voluntarily. They knew that was it. But Jesus Christ gave His life for a bunch of people that didn't care a thing about him. I'm sorry, but I didn't. I'm sorry that I wasted so many years. He had the desire. That's what he wanted, was to get people to heaven. I was talking to Brother Doug this week. We were just visiting. And John and I have talked about this a lot. There's not many places. Not many churches. I'm going to say this. I'll just say it. What's going to do? I'm not on salary, so you can't cut it, can you? I don't know that I could name 8 churches in this town. We've got probably 200. I don't know that I can name that many, that their number one purpose is getting somebody saved. I'm sorry. So many of them, they got to build something. The inmates used to tell me, well, they don't want me in church because I'm an ex-inmate. And I said, no, that doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. You inherit $1 million, you can be an ex-inmate. They want you. What? The reason I don't want you now is the same reason I don't want a lot of people. You can't help pay off the mortgage. But see, people say we're trying to build something. We're trying to have a whole bunch of folks. We're trying to do a bunch of things instead of get people to heaven. The greatest that I started, the first week, I thought we'll just have some goodies and we'll fellowship, we'll laugh and talk, and we'll sing some Christmas songs, and I'll just read a few verses and we'll forget it. And then I thought, what if there's one that God's got prepared to be saved and I don't give him a chance? I'm the bottleneck. I'm the holdup. I'm the person that didn't do. I wished. I get on you. I make some of you mad. I know that. I remember heard. I want to blame Brother Doug for this because he's the one who said it. So don't come back and say I said this. I'm just quoting him. But he said, I don't care if I make you mad as hell, as long as you don't go there. And let me tell you, if there's anything I want to finish my life with, is seeing people trust Jesus Christ. It is such a thrill to be around folks at one time were lost and doomed to hell, and now their life is counting for something. There are people that come every Thursday night here. There are people that have been to the depths of sin, and yet Jesus saved them and turned their life around, and now they're helping others. I pray God will never let me be satisfied with a service. I want to see somebody saved every time we meet, because I know there are people that are lost. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. God loved us so much that he said, here, Leland, Jesus, my son, will pay your debt so you can go to heaven. That's how much he loved me. That's how much he loved you. Can't change that. See, it's the Christmas story every day of our life. Because born unto you in the city of David, a Savior. I want you to bow your heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just nobody looking around. Do you have the Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have someone that will stand by you regardless? And you say, Leland, I don't have a Savior. I don't have a Savior. I want to pray for you tonight. I want you to have a Savior. Just I don't have a Savior. I'm ending 2012, and I don't have a Savior. Would you just slip up your hand where I could pray for you? God bless you. I see your hand, sir, and yours, and yours, and yours. You can slip them back down. Yes, sir, I see yours. You can slip them down once they're put up. I don't have a Savior. I don't have one. Maybe you're here. And the music maybe took you back to a time when you trusted Christ as Savior. And then so many things got in the way and you departed. And you need to renew those vows. He's still your Savior. He hadn't left you. You've left Him. You can come back. He's never turned anybody away. Would you stand to your feet? Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Would you stand? Our Father. There's some people here tonight without a Savior. Oh, Lord, we want them to have a Savior. We don't want them to leave this building without knowing that they know that they know that they're bound for heaven. Father, we ask this, your blessings, that your Holy Spirit would move freely. And that in the next few moments, they trust Christ as their Savior. They walked in here dead, they'll leave here alive. They walked in here a loser, they'll leave here a winner. Help them to do that in Christ's name we pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Charles sings, just as I am. Would you come on the very first verse and say, I want that Savior. Would you come? Come on. You can have a Savior tonight. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah. Come right on. Come on. You can have a Savior tonight. Just as I am. You don't have to do a thing to have a Savior. Just receive Him. Would you come? Come on. In a moment, I'm going to ask Charles to sing one other verse. Let me stop you just a minute, Charles. I'm going to ask Charles to sing one other verse in a moment. Let me beg you. I plead with you to trust Christ as Savior. I want you to come so you know the joy and the peace. You've acknowledged you don't have a Savior. He's done all He can do. He paid the price. I want to give you one more chance. As Charles sings this last verse, no one comes, we're through. Many a conflict, many a doubt, but if you come, He can solve all that for you. I can't, but Jesus Christ can. Would you come? Come on. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed. And the refreshment bar is open. As we leave tonight, I'm going to ask Charles to get us out of here with Silent Night. Well, that night when Jesus came, everything I got, I owed Him. And I deserve none of it. If I'd have got what I deserve, and if you got what you deserve, we wouldn't even be here. And I want to pray. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want you to have the greatest Christmas you've ever had. And if you've got Christ as Savior, that's high as you can go. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came. Father, I know this. I know that you touch hearts where people sit, where they stand, wherever they are. That's one thing about it. Anytime, any place, in any situation, you can save us. Thank you that you sent your Son to save us. Father, bless you people here tonight. Bless these guys and gals. Father, that life has not been good in a lot of ways for them. Father, I want to see them make it. I want to see them have joy and peace and happiness and to lose the anger, to lose the things that's hurting them. They just seem to inflict so much punishment on themselves. Father, help them to find that joy and peace that only you give. Bless them through this Christmas season. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Silent Night.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website, can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.